This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
WMFO Medford, good afternoon, and welcome to the Voicemobile. The volume on the headset was a little bit loud. Okay, so we have summer out there, in case you didn't notice it. Get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather, but don't forget the sunblock, because, you know, you don't want skin cancer. I've had a few things show up on my skin already that I've had to deal with, so, you know, just protect yourself and also stay hydrated, all that good stuff. Okay, so this is Joyce the Voice here on the Voicemobile, coming live from the Tufts campus. All right, and we're going to start off with some Nurit Galvarun.
Thank you. שבחיים יש נקודת מפנה שממנה עושים הכל אחרת. לא משאירה מקום לנוח, הרעש של הזמן הופך אנשים חיים לסרט אילם. השבוע ולא עצרתי לקבלו, אני אמשיך ללכת לא רגוע עד שקבר בריק שלו. כן, חל שינוי גדול השבוע ולא עצרתי לקבלו, אני אמשיך ללכת לא רגוע עד שקבר שבחיים יש נקודת מפנה שממנה עושים הכל אחר. לא משאירה מקום לנוח, הרעש של הזמן הופך אנשים חיים לסרט אילם. הרעש של הזמן הופך אנשים חיים לסרט אילם. Thank you. תשובה ורוצה אהבה אין לי מי לדבר קשה לי לבד ואין אף אחד חיפשתי למי לספר אין לי מי לדבר חיפשתי למי לספר משתדלת לא לבכות אבל כשהדמעות באות
So some wonderful female vocalists. That was Sarit Haddad, and it's from a self-titled disc, and the song is Levad. Before that, Yosefa, from also a self-titled disc on Triloka, Love Can Burn. And before that, Hadas Dagul from Putumayo Presents Israel. Spelled wrong. Sarat Elim is the name of the song. And then Nurit Galron opened up the set with Balot HaChalamot, the best of Nurit Galron. So WMFO Medford, we're live here at Tufts University. And this is The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. In case you're just tuning in, where have you been? So... let me just make a correction there. Okay, good. And, here's an important thing to share with you about seat belts. It's important. It's très important. to get your kids to buckle up for safety, no matter what it takes. Do what you have to make sure your kids are wearing their seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ed Council. So, you know, even if they're squirming and worming and everything, better that than God forbid, you know. So get them to buckle up. That's really important. Seatbelts do save lives. So let's see. Coming up, this is events part of From Pastrami to Public Art. The Jewish Arts Collaborative. This is celebrates spring. Well, it's all, I guess we're still in spring officially. So I had mentioned last week that on Thursday, Andy Statman was going to be out in Natick. And turns out a couple of my friends went out there to hear it. And of course, it was wonderful, which, you know, I knew it would be. How could it not be? Andy Statman is just, as it says, an American musical treasure. So, coming up in June, Tuesday, June 12th, and Wednesday, June 13th, Michael Twitty, scholar in residence, award-winning food writer, independent scholar, and culinary historian, describes himself as outside the mainstream and four-time blessed. Going by Kosher Soul, Michael champions what he has termed identity cooking. Identity cooking isn't about fusion. Rather, it is how we construct complex identities that we express through food and taste. Kosher Soul is about melding the histories, taste, flavors, and diasporic wisdom of being Black and being Jewish, and exploring how both cultures express values through the palate. Through the plate is what he says. Okay, so the conversation is on Tuesday from 7:30 to 9. That's at the Jewish Heritage Center at New England Historic Genealogical Society. And that's down on Newbury Street in Boston. He's going to discuss his book, The Cooking Gene, about his personal mission to document the connection between food history and his family history from Africa to America, from slavery to freedom. That sounds quite interesting. Then on Wednesday, cooking demo plus dinner, 7 to 9 at New England Heritage Center. This is a different location. Sorry. NECAT, whatever that is. New England CAT, I can barely read it. It's tiny, tiny. Let's see if I put my glasses on. New England Center for Arts and Technology. Okay, that's on Bradson Street in Boston. And they do have a fee, including a light dinner sampling of some of Michael's recipes, Kosher Soul cooking demonstration, dinner and conversation about sharing cultures by sharing cuisines, presented in partnership with the African American Museum. So that's that should be quite nice. It says, Blacks and Jews are the only peoples I know who use food to talk about their past while they eat it. From Twitty. Michael Twitty. Sounds like fun. And it says, if your ancestors could find a way out of Egypt, you can find a sitter. Very cute. Okay, and I think that's the last event in this Jewish Arts Collaborative. So, I wanted to share some of this. I don't know if I can read it. When I printed it out, the printer was losing its ink. So we'll see. This is Israel at 70 is unique in the world. There is no country like Israel for reasons way beyond its cutting-edge technology and economic success. This is from an article from April 17th by Giulio Miotti. Israel mourns its fallen, and then the following night begins the celebrations of its 70th birthday. There is no other country like it in the world, which went from 800,000 to 8 million inhabitants and welcomed 3 million immigrants. Imagine, 3 million immigrants. That's a lot. There is no other country at war every single day. 365 times 70 days of threats, massacres, conflicts, tensions, and in the meantime, lived and vibrated as if the war did not exist at all. There is no other country that lost 1% of its population in its war of independence. Whew. There is no other country that is a similar melting pot of cultures and colors. There is no other concentration of genius, faith, sacrifice. There is no other country born of nothingness and that has welcomed the survivors of the greatest mass slaughter in the history of humanity, making alive what the world decided had to die. There is no other country that has planted the tents of democracy, freedom, human rights, culture, science, and life in the desert. There is no other country that survived the worst terror campaign against the civilian population, the quote-unquote Oslo War, and that recovered and got stronger. There is no other country whose children are condemned to death for the sole crime of being Jewish. There is no other country that could have closed itself but decided to become an island of liberalism for its minorities and religions. There is no other country which has been created around a religious and metaphysical idea, the homeland of the Jewish people. There is no other country where people, nation, identity, religion, and state live together. There is no other country whose eventual disappearance would be a tragedy and a victory for so many people around the world. There is no other country so ancient and so modern at the same time. There is no other country so strategic for the destinies of we ungrateful Westerners. The world is a better place with Israel and the Jewish people. This is from the Aretz Sheva news site. Okay. And there's another article I want to share with you. Abbas isn't the real problem. This is by Jonathan S. Tobin. This is dated May 4th of this year. Okay. Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas shocked the New York Times with his latest... Okay, what does that say? Latest, I can't even read it. Well, whatever that word is, it's missing. Latest, oh gosh. Latest. Well, it looks like bris, but that doesn't make any sense. After years of apologizing and rationalizing Abbas's behavior, the paper's column had enough of the 82-year-old currently serving 14th year for the four-year term to which he was elected back in 2005. They called for his ouster and expressed a desire that his vile words should be his last as Palestinian leader. It's hard to disagree with that sentiment. Abbas didn't just make it clear that he viewed Israel as an illegitimate nation, but denied the validity of the ties between the Jewish people and its ancient homeland. He also engaged in Holocaust denial and blamed Nazi persecution on the behavior of Adolf Hitler's victims, a classic trope of anti-Semitism. It just boggles the mind. The Times is right that Abbas is an obstacle to peace and that the Palestinians need new leaders. But as bad as he is, replacing him isn't the real problem for the Palestinians or the quest for Middle East peace. As we should have learned, the last time there was a change in leadership at the PA, the problem goes much deeper than personnel. When Abbas's predecessor, Yasser Arafat, died in 2005, there were similar hopes about the ascension of a new Palestinian leader. The administration of President George W. Bush had, to its credit, cut off relations with Arafat and the PA after it responded to Israeli peace offers with a terrorist war of attrition called the Second Intifada, which resulted in the murder of more than 1,000 Israeli lives and many more Palestinian casualties. Bush thought Arafat's demise offered a real opportunity for peace, and he embraced Abbas. For the first time, the United States explicitly recognized the right of Palestinian Arabs to statehood. However, the only real difference between Abbas and Arafat was in their choice of apparel. Though Abbas wore a suit instead of army fatigues, he He was just as reluctant to make peace, even if that meant rejecting an independent Palestinian state in almost all of the West Bank, Gaza, and a share of Jerusalem. He continued Arafat's policies of fomenting hate on official Palestinian media and in its schools. As even the Times admitted, Abbas had a long history of Holocaust denial and anti-Semitism. He followed the same deceptive practice of speaking one way about peace when addressing Westerners and Israelis, while speaking very differently when talking to Arab and Muslim audiences. Just as important, Abbas was every bit as corrupt as Arafat and ran the PA like a mafia rather than a government. Billions in foreign aid flowed to his family and Fatah party cronies, setting back efforts to create economic development in the territories. Just as the administration of former President Bill Clinton failed to hold Arafat accountable for flouting the Oslo Accords, Bush and former President Barack Obama gave Abbas, whom they falsely lauded as a moderate and a champion for peace, the same kid gloves treatment. Abbas torpedoed the negotiations championed by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry in 2014 by making an end run around the talks and going to the United Nations, and by choosing to try to make peace with Hamas rather than Israel. Yet the Obama administration preferred to blame its usual punching bag, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, rather than the Palestinians. Even now, after rejecting his anti-Semitism, the Times plays the same game, blaming Abbas's shortcomings largely on Israel. However, the problem is that getting rid of Abbas will solve nothing. Any possible successor would be just as bad, if not worse, due to the political culture that locks all Palestinians, both within the Fatah party or Hamas, into a position that makes peace impossible. Any possible successor will be a slave to the same mindset that prevented Abbas from ever embracing peace. As long as Palestinians are more worried about suing Britain for the Balfour Declaration than building up their own institutions, and regard Tel Aviv as much an illegal settlement as the most remote West Bank hilltop caravan, Israelis know that the 100-year-old war on Zionism won't be over. Any new PA leader will also be primarily interested in competing with Hamas for Palestinian support. That's why they'll continue to call for, quote, the right of return, unquote, for descendants of the 1948 Arab refugees, the focal point of the weekly demonstrations orchestrated by Hamas or on the border between Israel and Gaza, which is tantamount to calling for Israel's destruction. If Abbas were to be succeeded by someone like Salam Fayyad, the American-educated technocrat, there might be some hope. But the career of Fayyad, who is the darling of American columnists like the Times' Thomas Friedman, illustrated why any hope for Palestinian reform remains futile. His term as PA Prime Minister from 2007 to 2013 began with great hope, but ended by proving that anyone primarily interested in the economy, state building, and good governance, as opposed to terror and violence, has no future in Palestinian politics. Throughout his tenure, Fayyad was a man without a party or a constituency among his own people. Sadly, they continued to prefer men of violence like Marwan Barghouti, currently serving 5 life sentences in an Israeli jail for murdering civilians during the Second Intifada, to those whose purpose is their betterment. When the Palestinians choose a leader dedicated to peace and not conflict, only then will peace be possible. But that won't happen if Palestinian politics are conducted in an atmosphere in which its participants only acquire credibility by engaging in violent rhetoric and rejectionism, if not actual violence, and by fueling fantasies about erasing the last 70 years of history, as was the case with the departure of blood-soaked terrorists like Arafat. It will be good to see the last of a hate monger like Abbas, but until it becomes possible for someone who truly wants peace to ascend to Palestinian leadership, it won't really matter much which Fatah or Hamas operative leads the PA. This is an article by Jonathan S. Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. You can follow him at Jonathan S. Tobin. Okay. So...
My hand, it's clear it works the same each day. I open my fingers to reach, I close them to take away. It seems so small at first, but really it's not so simple at all. Each finger must move with the other, the same as from brother to brother. Together you see that we are as different as two people can be, but standing and waiting in the same line. Can't we try to change this world together until that day comes when we can try? And live afraid. We all have the right to walk on our own, with fear as the ground underneath, leaving our trust at home. But now I can set you free, since you've been dreaming the same as me. Let's show we can all dream together. In peace we could see much better. Together you see that we are as different as two people can be, but standing and waiting in the same line. Can't we try to change this world together until that day comes when we can try? Same direction.
ישיב נפשי.
This is all dedicated to my sweetest, my best love, Alev, Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach, my father. May his name always be a blessing. May his soul only rise higher and higher in heaven. A few weeks before my father left the world, I had the privilege of finishing this recording with him. It was the most special thing of my life. You know, my father had the greatest capacity in the world. Through his love, through his beauty, through his sweet laugh, to connect heaven and earth in the deepest way. He gave me this gift before he left the world, when we were making this recording. And now, I'm finishing this, while my father is in heaven. He's giving me a new taste of heaven right now. Heaven is so much sweeter with him in it. When my father was born, he was born into one of the darkest times of the world. It seemed like every gate was closed. And through his Havas Yisrael, through his prayers, through his songs, he crashed open the gates of heaven for all of us. He paved a path. And now he showed us all how we can get to heaven by singing his songs, his sweet songs. Bless all of us, that this album should help us get there, that his sweet voice should light up the world forever. This story is to him. I miss you so much. When Heiliger Reb Yitzchak Fokker left the world, when he went to heaven, everyone was so broken, especially his holy son, Reb Mendel Avucker, and his best friend, the Kotzker Rebbe, Gewaltz. And they were the best friends, the Kotzker and the Vukur, even though their ideas on life were so different. In Kotzk, truth is the most important thing in the world. By the Vukur, loving people was the most important thing. When the Heiliger Vukur left the world, you know, our Rebbes were so close to the other world. His son Mendele was so concerned, he was sure his father would come to him in a dream, at least. It was 4 weeks, and he hadn't heard from his holy father. So Mendele went to his father's best friend, the Heiliger Kotzker. He said, Rebbe, I'm so worried about my father. I haven't heard from him in 4 weeks. The Kotzker Rebbe said, Mendele, I know. I was also sure your father would come to me and tell me what's happening to him in heaven. It was 4 weeks. I also didn't hear from him. So I decided, if he's not coming to me, I have to go to him. I went up to heaven. I sent my soul up to heaven. I went to all the palaces. I went to the palace of Rashi, of the Rambam, of Heilig Avram Avinu, of David HaMelech. And everywhere I went, I said, where's my best friend, the Heiliger Rebbe the Fokker? And everywhere I went, they said, ah, he was here, but he left. I finally went to the angel. I said, where's my best friend? I need him so much. And they said, Kotzker Rebbe, you have to go through a very dark forest, and you'll find him at the other end. I summoned all my strength, all my courage. I went through a forest, the darkest forest in the world. When I came to the other end, suddenly I saw an ocean. And I never heard waves. I never heard waves crying this way. Every wave went up to heaven. And there, I see leaning on a stick, is my friend, Heiliger Vokker. He's leaning on a stick. He couldn't take his eyes off the ocean. said to him, "My friend, Yitzhak, I've missed you so much. What are you doing here?" And he said, "Mendele, do you recognize the ocean?" And I said, "No, what is it?" He said, "This is the ocean of tears. This is the ocean of tears. All the tears of God's holy people, of all of Israel. All the tears." And I swore to God, that I would not leave the ocean until the one, until the only one, until he dried all the tears. My Ziza Tatala, thank you so much for drying my tears. I'll cry for you forever. Nafshi